And we begin today on page 158 of volume 2. And let's go ahead and turn to that page. I thought I had it up here, but it doesn't look like I do. And we're at the heading on that page on 158. And just thinking about that heading, our Lord's parousia or presence, our Lord's presence in the harvest. And it's interesting just to think about that heading. We're going to be focusing in on a harvest period. And we know from the scriptures that the harvest marks the end of an age. It marked the end of the Jewish age. We're in the harvest of the gospel age. And our Lord's presence in the harvest is key to understanding that He is present. And so we're going to be considering some of the Greek language and some of the Greek words that are used and so forth. Would like to read that first paragraph under the heading. And let's see, who can we have read here? Brother Jerry, maybe we'll start with you. And if we could have you read that first paragraph under the heading. Last two lines wrap over to 159.
Well, thank you, Brother Bill. The Greek is a very exact language, a fact which generally enhances its value in giving exact expression to truth. Thus, for instance, in our common English Bibles, the word come is used to translate 32 Greek words, each of which has a fine shade of difference. Instances, epithymi signifies to overtake in Luke 21:34. Come upon you unawares. Soon or komai signifies to gather, to come together, as in 1 Corinthians 11:18. Come together in the church. If I can see it, prosokome signifies to approach, to come toward, as in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly. Hiko signifies to arise or have come, or come as when the action of coming is completed, as in John 2:4, mine hour is not yet come. Looks like anastami signifies to be present, and it is so translated, except in two instances where it should be rendered 2 Timothy 3:1, perilous times shall come, be present. And 2 Thessalonians 2:2, that the day of Christ is at hand, present. Parousia, too, signifies presence and should never be translated coming, as in the Common English Bible, where it is twice rendered properly, presence, in 2 Corinthians 10:10 and Philippians 2:12. The emphatic diaglot, a very valuable translation of the New Testament, renders parousia properly, presence, in almost every occurrence of the word. Over.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Jerry. So, interesting paragraph and introducing a concept here. And I, before we get into the details of all these words, if we want to do that, he's kind of establishing a fact and a basis for what's going to follow. And I just what is the principle? What is the concept that he's trying to convey to us? So just open that up to comment. Yes, Brother David, we see your hand.
Well, I don't have a very rich vocabulary, but to my understanding, this is saying that there's a few words, well, quite a few, that were translated a bit wrong in the Common English Bible. But there's these few words that have been translated to future coming. But the true meaning, and in the, you know, like the beginning of the paragraph says, the Greek is a very exact language. And the real meaning is here, now. So that is, and there are not a lot of words, that's what I got.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So the Greek language has a lot of different words with very subtle differences in meanings. And in the when translated to the English language, like he was saying, the word come, one English word is used to translate 32 different Greek words. And so it's good for us to be aware of that, that the English word may convey a wrong idea. It's interesting that we have another language represented in our gathering. And I don't know if, as it's translated into Romanian or into Moldovan, in your translations, if you also use a common word like we use come, or whether you in your language have different words. But if that's true or not, just it'd be interesting. And I see a hand from Brother Tim.
Also, if you read the footnote on the bottom of page 159, it says the word parousia occurs 24 times in the Greek Testament and only twice in the English common verse. 2 Corinthians 10:10 and Philippians 2:12 correctly translates presence. The other occurrence in which it is mistranslated coming are as follows. And there's this, you can see all the scriptures there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Brother Tim. So you've drawn our attention to that footnote, which is a nice, it's kind of a nice little reference to have, because it lists all the scriptures where parousia is referenced. And it's a footnote on the next paragraph, which we'll read shortly. Any other comments on this paragraph? I found looking at this paragraph a little overwhelming, but I kind of was able to separate it and break it apart and look at these different words that are being referenced here, and it made more sense to me. Kind of looking at the paragraph as a whole, it was a little overwhelming at first. Was there a comment? Sister Margaret, we see your hand.
Yeah, I was thinking along the same line just previously mentioned as to why Brother Russell is going into this detail, and I was thinking how previous paragraphs and subheadings refer particularly to Matthew 24:3 and 27, which are a couple of the verses mentioned at the bottom of page 159, to indicate where the word coming is used in King James. Really, it should be parousia presence, and that would make a lot of difference to our understanding then of the whole chapter of 24, that it's proving indications of signs that would indicate that the Lord is present, not just that he's coming. So I think it all relates to that fact as what we discussed before on those two verses particularly.
Okay, thank you, Sister Margaret. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into those Matthew 24 verses. All right, Brother Bruni, over to you.
I'm not a linguist, but just the general comment on languages. Languages sometimes have their special exactness. Like when Eskimos refer to snow, they have very precise terms, many terms. Now, Pastor Russell's saying that the Greek language is precise. I would qualify that by saying that it is very precise when it comes to using the word, the English word, come. It has so many varieties, and a few are discussed in the paragraph. And given the precision of how that is described, the translators have made some serious problems with their mistranslation. We can see that parousia means presence. So this is not an artifact of the language of vagueness. It's very precise. And it's so precise it has so many words to describe what we would say come. And to use that is a gross mistranslation. And so I think that's the main idea in the paragraph, maybe stated in slightly different words. Over.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate those words, and that was a good expression. Thank you. Brother Jerry, over to you.
And the reason for this discussion is interesting because in Matthew 24, the disciples asked, what would be the sign of your coming? And I would say most people who call themselves Christians today would say, oh, this chapter is about when he is going to be near or just about to come. He's on the way. And the word in Matthew 24 is parousia, meaning not on the way, but actually present here. And I remember when I was a boy in this class, there was a Greek Bible student who was born in Greece and went to school there. And he said that when he was in the schoolroom, the teacher would take roll call of everyone who was there. And he would say, when I call your name, tell me if you are present, parousia, he would call out. And so one person would say, parousia, I'm present. But they would not use that word when one person said, well, my little brother is late and he's on the way. He's coming soon. They would not use parousia. Over.
Okay, interesting, practical example. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Okay. Oh, Brother Brad, we see your hand.
Brother Bill, I just was, two things. The definition of Thayer's Greek dictionary on this word parousia, his first definition, I bring this up because Strong's is not quite as definitive about it, but it is from Strong's number 3952. Thayer's first definition is the word presence. His second definition is a coming, an arrival, an advent. And then Vine's dictionary breaks it down into the two words which make up our word parousia that we're looking at. It's para, which means with, and ousia in the Greek, which means being, with being, or I think another translation, maybe some other translations I think offer beside being. So when we look at the subheading, our Lord's parousia in the harvest, When we think about that the Lord had to be beside being, with being. He had to be present with them to do the harvest work, because he was bringing the harvest message at the first advent. And that was, of course, the harvest of the wheat and the chaff, the separating of the wheat and the chaff in the first, that's in Matthew, the third chapter. And so the idea, just as being the Lord of the harvest, he has to also be present at the harvest of the wheat and the tares from Matthew 13, because he again delivers the harvest message and guides the harvest work. So just a couple added points, Brother Bill, on that subheading, our Lord's parousia, his beside being, his presence in the harvest. It's necessary that he is present to guide the harvest work. And I had put a text in the chat earlier. Let's see, it's from Luke 10:2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So the Lord is directing the work. Over.
Okay, good point. Thank you, Brother Brad. Very clear definitions there from Vines and Thayer's. Any other hands? Okay, good discussion. Let's go on to the next paragraph. And this is a paragraph, we've already had this, footnote read. But let's have the paragraph read. And Brother Igor, could you read that? It begins the two Greek words, hiko and parousia.
Heko and parousia, and their use in the New Testament, are what we desire to notice at the present, and particularly the later of these, because of correct appreciation of their significance, sheds light upon the manner of our Lord's return through passages in which they occur. While the common but erroneous translation beclouds the very point it should illuminate. And we have the footnote, the word parousia occurs 24 times in the Greek Testament, and it's only twice in the English com. It's from 2 Corinthians 10:10 and Philippians 2:12. Correctly installed presence. The other occurrences in which it's mistranslated coming or follows, and there is a lot.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so Pastor Russell's introducing us to the fact that he wants to focus in on these words that are so mistranslated, and so many times mistranslated, and he brings us out in the footnote. Any comments on the paragraph Brother Igor read? Yes, Brother Igor, I see you holding up your mic.
Yes, I was looking further, and I was already with the verse from 1 Corinthians. Which one is it? Anyway, idea is that I was looking over, and I see it says that, but each one of this own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, those who are Christ are his coming at his presence. It doesn't make sense to say actually at his coming. And I look over the Romanian translation, just close to my brain. It doesn't make sense to read or understand at his coming, which will be the future. It's actually at his presence.
Okay. So would you say the Romanian language translates it correctly?
It's still speaking as King James. It's pretty much the same as English.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Igor. Any other comments on this? So we're going to focus in here on these two Greek words, hiko and pheresia. And we made the note that there's 24 times that pheresia is used in the scriptures, and only twice is it translated presence in the King James. Sister Arlene?
This isn't really a comment, but I wondered last night when I was studying that if there is a list someplace where it takes these 24 scriptures, especially the 22 that don't all together, you know, I could have done it with my computer, cut and paste each one, but does anybody know if there's a list someplace where that's already done? I didn't want to reinvent the wheel. Do you know what I'm saying, Brother Bill?
Yes, I know what you're saying, and I went through the same mental exercise, and I didn't have the time to list those all out, but I think that would be handy if you could have those all on one sheet with the words highlighted, and maybe that would give you a feel of the context that the different
But there isn't one that
in.
Exists. I'll do it next week. I'll do it before next Sunday.
Yeah. Brother John has a thought. Maybe he has a list here. Go ahead, Brother John.
I wish I did have the list, but I don't. But, you know, that one little sentence at the end, the emphatic diaglot, a very valuable translation of the New Testament, renders parousia properly presence in almost every occurrence of the word. So the diaglot got it right. And the diaglot is basically one of the major reasons why Brother Russell understood the difference between parousia and coming when a reader of Barber's book or paper that he gave basically wrote in and said, hey, look at the Diaglot translation of this and how it changes it to make it correct, and how Brother Russell used that as a foundation. And then we have two other scriptures, and just like some brethren don't seem to recognize the importance of the Diaglot, but in John 1:1 about the word and a word, and then also Ephesians 3:11 where it talks about, instead of the internal purpose of God, it talks about the plan of the ages of God. And so the Diaglot is a very important translation to us as Bible students in understanding the scriptures. Over.
Okay, good point about the importance of the Diaglot. Thank you, Brother John. I was also thinking of our resident librarian, Sister Alice, and she has done a lot of research on how this word is translated in a lot of different scholarship, and she has found that there's quite a few that recognize the meaning of patience. The meaning of parousia as referencing presence rather than coming. Yes, Brother Igor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I have it on my website, ChristSecondPresence.com, and then you go and you can click on when. And then you can click on parousia. And I went to the library when I was in getting my degree. I had to go to different libraries, so I decided to go to in Chicago, one of the religious libraries. I happened to be with the Catholics, but I went into their library and I looked up all of the reference materials that would have the Greek meanings of words, and with the word parousia, and I listed them, and they would agree, coming, presence, parousia is presence. But I listed them all on the website. I went to different, you know, when you're going to college, you go to different areas for your information. And with the library science, I knew all the libraries in Illinois just about. And I even went into Wisconsin and, you know, Indiana. But anyway, that's on the website. I don't have my computer with me, so I can't give you the exact information, but it's there. Over.
Okay, thank you, Sister Alice. Thank you for that research, and I have looked at that, and it's very impressive. Brother Jerry, I think your hand is next.
Yeah, Brother Bill. The citation was that the Diaglot had it correct by Benjamin Wilson, but it's not the only one, and there were others that actually got it correct also, including Joseph Rotherham translation renders it correctly. And the New World Translation by the Witnesses and so forth are correct. But one of the strong cases, even where King James got it right, was Philippians 2:12 that was cited. And it's rather interesting the way it compares presence with absence. Paul says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not as in my presence, parousia only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So, parousia or presence is the opposite of absence. Over.
Okay, thank you, Brother Jerry. I'm glad you pointed that out from Philippians, and the contrast that's in there. Brother Walter, we see your hand. Over to you.
I don't know if I got Sister Arlene's question right or not, but I was looking on eSword, the King James Plus. If you highlight the Matthew 24 coming, it does the 3952, and then you right-click on that, and it says search the Bible or New Testament or Old or whatever. So you just hit New Testament, and it gives you a list of 24 translations where 3952, and it seems like most of them are coming, but there are the ones that do translate it correctly. So that might be a study help. Over.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Walter. And you've highlighted a feature of eSword that I've just recently discovered. You go into King James Plus, which has all the numbers associated with most of the words, all the Strong's numbers. And you hover over that number and you get a little pop-up of the definition. Now, while you're hovering over the number with that pop-up visible, if you right-click, like Brother Walter said, it'll give you some options you can do. And one of them is to do a search of every place that word is used. And you can limit it to only be in the New Testament because it's a Greek word. And you'll get a list of all the scriptures. And problem is it comes up with King James numbers. But you can also go down and just get the ones that appear in Matthew if you want to do a subset. But it's a handy little feature to right click on while you're hovering over the number, and you've got some other features you can do there. Okay. Let's go on and look at our next paragraph.
Where has this hint? I thought I saw.
I'm sorry. Brother Bill, did you have a thought? You're muted, Brother Bill. Or I'm not hearing you. Still no sound.
Do you hear me, Brother Bill?
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm sorry. I was reading on 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. How you say Thessalonians in England? Thessalonians? Yeah. Okay, thank you for your patience and understanding. Anyway, chapter 3, verse 13. It's one of those 24 wrong ones. And when we read this verse, if we know that the verse 13 is actually speaking about his presence and not his future coming, it's changing completely the context. It's changing completely the meaning. It's so important to have this in 24 verses writing when we going over our personal studies, is to be aware that actually this is meaning the presence and is not the coming over.
Okay, thank you. Brother Igor, interesting. To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus. But it was at the presence of our Lord Jesus. And it makes so much more sense to read it that way. Sister Ellie, we see your hand. Over to you. And you're muted, Sister Ellie.
I just wonder, this is just a passing thought on the subject about a list, that I think Young's Concordance is set up a little differently, and they may, I was trying to find it online, they may list the words, and under the word, like heckle or parousia or any of those other words, they might list all the scriptures.
Okay. All right, thank you. Young's is another resource to consider. Thank you, Sister Ellie. Okay, let's read one more paragraph here, and this will be the second paragraph on page 159. Brother Bill, we'll have you read that.
Brother Bill, since I'm going to lead the next meeting, I think somebody else ought to have an opportunity, because I'll be doing a lot of talking when I lead the next meeting.
Okay. I'm just kind of working my way down the list here. So let's see, who can we have read? Is Estera available? And could I have her read that paragraph?
With the correct thought as to the meaning of parousia in mind, not that of coming as being on the way, but presence as after arrival, let us examine some passages in which the word is used. And from these, we will learn that presence does not necessarily imply sight, but that it is applicable also to things present but unseen. Thus, for instance, angels, spirit beings, can be present with us, yet unseen. As our Lord was present in the world, and often with the disciples, during the 40 days after his resurrection, without being seen of the world or by his disciples, except on the few brief occasions already referred to. Those days were days of his parousia presence, as much as the preceding 33 and a half years had been.
Okay. Thank you, Estera. I'm going to put Estera on the spot a little bit. And any comments on your own, Estera, as to what you've just read?
And I think it's just clarifying that it's not only meaning that it's present, but also unseen. And then it just continues about how it just gives examples of things that are unseen, like angels and the spirit beings. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. You zeroed in on the thought that I really wanted to highlight, and that this presence is not just physical presence. Well, it is a physical presence, but it's an invisible presence, an unseen presence, as well as presence that is manifested visibly. So it covers both those concepts. Thank you, Estera. Sister Sharon.
Yes, Brother Bill. Two scripture and a thought. On thinking about the disciples here in this and the 40 days, first of all, his talking to the disciples is Acts 1, verse 3. And I'd like to read Acts 1, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, in reprint, it's not dark enough. Reprint 2081. Reprint 2081 says for those 40 days, it wasn't the whole day, it was just parts of the day. And so it comes to 4 hours. So friends might want to just clarify that. But it wasn't, just lost my notes. It wasn't that he was with them for the 40 days, but only 4 hours because he was there only in parts. But please clarify on reprint 2081 and that Acts 1:3, please. Over.
Okay, thank you. This is a really good example, and I'm glad you brought that out. I hadn't thought about this. At his first advent, he was present with them for 40 days, but he wasn't physically visible to them except for more than a few hours. So that's a good example of being present, but also invisible. And he was probably watching over them that whole time. Another hand from the room.
Yes, that would be me, Brother Bill. There's a scripture that says we walk by faith and not by sight. And most of the people know in the world that Satan is around, but they can't see him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the signs they see around us and how things go, but they can't see the signs of the presence of the Lord. Very interesting.
Okay, good point. Thank you, Brother Tim. Okay, let's go on. So we're going to start getting into Matthew 24 here. And let's have this next paragraph read. Brother Brad, I think I'll have you read this one for us in the conversation previous.
Okay. Amanda had her hand up, Brother Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. Amanda, you have a thought or question?
Well, I was thinking how I appreciate in the preceding paragraph how it said that the erroneous translation beclouds the point it should illuminate, and how there are so many people that are happy with the sloppy translation, and they don't bother to search beyond that. And so you can see that that Jesus is present in the harvest work, and that's part of the harvest work, and those that are searching beyond and not being content with what's handed to them, not gulping that down so easily. And so I appreciate how Pastor Russell builds on logic and with the translation clarification, and then on how we know and understand the Spirit presence, and also with Jesus being present during those 40 days, his disciples didn't recognize him until he did something. So they didn't recognize how he was physically present with them until he did something that reminded them of how he was before. So, over.
Okay, that is so good. I really like the way you expressed that. And it's very true. Those who are watching and aren't confused by the mistranslations and are watching for the right things, recognize this presence. But this mistranslation has really shifted a lot of focus away from him being here, and with the idea that he's not here yet, that he's coming. So, just very well put. Amanda. Thank you for sharing that with us. Okay, now, Brother Brad, could we have you read the next paragraph? I think we're going to get into Matthew 24 here.
Brother Bill, can I just add in a little side note, kind of an obscurity, on top of Sister Sharon's comment? I just wanted to, this has nothing to do with this discussion, so I apologize for this, but it was brought up about the 40 days, and, you know, that Sister Sharon said, that article said, well, there was only, the disciples were only with Jesus about 4 hours during that 40 days. I don't know. I don't know about that part. But what was he doing the rest of the time? One thought could be tied into 1 Peter 3:19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. It could be that Jesus was spending some time with the disciples, reassuring them of his presence, of his resurrection, of his being with them. Maybe some of the other time he was using to go and instruct and teach those fallen angels that were incarcerated in the chains of darkness at that time. So like I said, that's way off topic, but I'll read the paragraph. It says, in the conversation previous to the question of Matthew 24:3, our Lord had foretold the destruction of the temple and the rejection of Israel after the flesh until a time when they would gladly recognize him as their Messiah and say, blessed is he. He had told his disciples that he would go away and come again and receive them unto himself. He called their day the harvest or end of the age. And he had told them of a future harvest at a time of his second coming, doubtless remembering that few recognized him as the Christ at his first advent. They wanted to know how he might be surely recognized at his second advent, expecting probably that his second advent would occur in their day. Hence their inquiry, what shall be the sign, indication of thy parousia, presence, and of the end of the age?
Okay, let's pause there for a second. Any thoughts on your own, Brother Brad, on this paragraph you've just read?
Well, Brother Bill, I think the idea of an indication, that's interesting to me, because they weren't looking for, they were kind of, in a way, weren't they just saying, well, we know we're going to need some indication. We know we're going to need some sign of it to reveal this to us, because it's not going to be an obvious thing. We're not going to hear trumpets. We're not going to see flashes of lightning and so forth. We're going to have indications in the scriptures. Or, well, the scriptures actually that would be written, because this was before the New Testament was written, but they were asking him a question that I think that really the Lord overruled their question. It's almost like that was a divine intervention, even that they would ask the question in the way that they did, because that gave Jesus the opportunity to give an answer of the entirety of the gospel age, as well as the conclusion or end of the gospel age, when he would return and what would identify the markings that would identify his presence. Over.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. And certainly they did ask a very key question that I kind of like your thought, divine intervention. Because it was something that needed to be expressed. And for them, but also for us at this end of the age. And so this prophecy is quite an important one. And they ask the question in just the right way. Brother Jerry, over to you.
Brother Bill, this may be obvious, but If those disciples that were sitting there with Jesus expected him to come again in the clouds where everyone could look up and see him physically descending in white robes and in the same wounds in his hands, they would have never have asked this question of how will we know? What will be the sign? What will be the evidence? So the evidence of his return, Jesus gave signs, but if they were not expecting him to come in that way, physically with the eyes, over.
Okay. Again, very important concept. Thank you, Brother Jerry, that they would not have asked this question in that way if they were expecting some sort of miraculous announcement and trumpets blaring and seeing him physically. Okay. Not seeing any more hands, and that's probably a good thing because we are at the end of our time. Let us mark our books at page 160. And the first paragraph on that page, page 160, paragraph 1.